Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of July 1st. We'll start with our local news. Downstate judge rules Pritzker's COVID-19 related orders are void. From Springfield. All of Governor J. Bree Pritzker's executive orders since April 8th pertaining to the novel coronavirus pandemic are void, because he exceeded his authority when he used his emergency powers for more than 30 days, a Clay County judge ruled Thursday. The Illinois Department of Public Health instead has supreme authority to close businesses and restrict residents' activities in a public health crisis, Circuit Court Judge Michael McCaney added. His decision, which he expanded to apply to all Illinoisans, is the latest ruling in senior Republican Representative Darren Bailey's lawsuit. He argued in his April 23rd filing that the governor could not issue successive disaster proclamations to manage COVID-19. The Attorney General's office is likely to ask a higher court to reconsider the order. Thomas DeVore, Bailey's attorney, said business occupancy limitations and other restrictions can no longer be enforced. McCaney did not agree with all of the points Bailey alleged, however. He rejected the argument that COVID-19 did not satisfy the definition of a disaster, as outlined in the law Pritzker cited in his executive orders. One problem with the governor's approach was that he acted as though he knew better how people should behave, Bailey said in a statement. Instead of presenting facts and calling on people to respond in a collaborative way, hard and fast rules were imposed. Bailey entered the court Thursday afternoon and walked out to applause from a group of supporters who the representative said came from across Illinois. Several were wearing gray shirts that said, "My governor is an idiot." The ruling in his lawsuit, he told reporters after the hearing, is beneficial for all Americans. Governors' COVID-19 responses should not be unilateral. Instead, he suggested, local departments of health should make determinations county by county. Every other court, both state and federal, that has considered those exact issues has agreed with the administration that executive orders protecting Illinoisans' health and safety are well within the governor's constitutional authority, a Pritzker spokesperson said in an email. While this one county circuit court has gone a different direction from all of the other cases, the administration will ultimately seek to appeal this ruling, and the governor will continue to urge the people of Illinois to exercise constant vigilance and keep doing what has worked: wash your hands, watch your distance, and wear your face covering. DeVore said the Attorney General's office, which represented Pritzker in this case, could have asked the judge to suspend enforcement of his order, but did not. Unless a higher court overturns McCaney's order, it will stand, he said. A spokesperson for Attorney General Kwame Raoul said officials are reviewing McCaney's order and evaluating our options. DeVore said the Attorney General is supposed to be representing the people of Illinois, and he is disappointed that Raoul has been fighting 13 million people that he's supposed to have a duty to protect. Bailey's case was in Clay County Court because a federal district court judge returned it there Monday, denying a request for it to be heard in federal court made in late May by the Attorney General's office. Accepting jurisdiction of the lawsuit would amount to judicial overreach, U.S. Magistrate Judge Gilbert Sisson wrote. He noted in his 16-page ruling he was analyzing only whether Bailey alleged his U.S. constitutional rights were violated, and therefore his case could be decided by a federal judge, not whether the enormity of the issues raised in the case had merit. The stakes are high on both sides of this litigation, the judge wrote. There is no easy balance between protecting the public from a silent, fast-spreading, novel virus and preventing great social upheaval and the heavy strain of economic and financial uncertainty. When the Attorney General's office moved Bailey's case from Clay County to a federal court, it argued the representative claimed his freedoms of religion, due process, interstate travel, and a Republican form of government were violated by Pritzker's successive disaster proclamations. Bailey's attorney responded in a court document that the venue shift was a delay tactic that was not supported by the lawsuit's facts. Sisson, in his opinion, wrote that while at first blush, The representative did not explicitly cite the U.S. Constitution in his case. The state's lawyers could infer that to a certain degree. He also admonished Bailey's attorney for writing an ambiguous argument. The representative seems to acknowledge Pritzker's actions violated his constitutionally protected rights, but did not specify whether he was referring to the U.S. or Illinois constitutions. Bailey's argument that this is a case that clearly raises no federal claims is too confidently stated, the judge wrote. Ultimately, Sisson decided that the crux of the representative's lawsuit clearly is the scope of the governor's power under the statutory scheme established by the Illinois legislature. He also denied Bailey's request that the state pay reasonable fees and costs associated with its venue shift. Fisher police alert residents of Nile monitor lizard. Fisher has its bunnies, and now it has a lizard. A Nile monitor lizard. The town's police department alerted residents this week that a 3-foot lizard had escaped someone's house and was roaming free in the area of Heritage Lake. The department said in a Facebook post that the lizard does not appear to be vicious, but encouraged residents to keep an eye on their small children and pets. The department said an Illinois Department of Natural Resource reptile expert had been consulted and said it is best to leave the lizard where it resides in Heritage Lake. According to IDNR, the lizard should not bite unless it is threatened, the post said. It is still best practice to not approach the lizard if it is seen sunbathing. Fisher Police Chief Steve Bine said the lizard belonged to local residents. It got out when they were cleaning its container, and it is living in Heritage Lake, Bain said. Due to its size and species, it is not a danger unless someone would try to grab it. It's going to be impossible to catch. He said a number of people have gone to the lake, which is located in a subdivision on the west side of town, to try to catch a glimpse of it. It's a water-native creature, Bain said. It will just swim and stay underwater and then pop up like a turtle. The lizard will occasionally swim to the bank to sun itself. He said the lizard is not likely to survive the winter, however. Anyone who fishes in the lake and catches the lizard is asked to notify the department at 217-897-1184. Two people attacked, robbed, and ran tool overnight. Two people were the victims of robbery within an hour of one another late Sunday night, apparently by separate individuals. In each incident, the victims were struck in the face. In the first, police were called at 11:07 p.m. to the block of Mahoning Drive. Rantoul Police Lieutenant Justin Bowes said the victim, a 20-year-old man, was leaving his residence when he was approached by three men. They did not say anything to him and began hitting him in the face and body with their fists. Bowes said they removed a backpack the victim was wearing and took a cell phone and then fled the area, possibly in a white truck. The area was checked, and the three were not located. They were described as being Hispanic males, one with a Mohawk-style haircut and wearing a red T-shirt, the second wearing a bright yellow hooded sweatshirt, and the third wearing a white T-shirt and pants. In the second incident, police were called at 11:53 p.m. after a Domino's pizza delivery driver was robbed of about $200 following a delivery. Bowes said the victim, a 27-year-old man, told police he had delivered a pizza to an address in the 600 block of Willow Pond Road, and had entered his vehicle when he was approached by two males. One of the suspects struck the victim in the face with his fist, Bowes said. The victim gave the two men money, and they left. The victim sustained a significant injury. The victim described the pair as two black males. One was about 5'9", with a short afro and a yellow shirt across his face. The other one was described only as wearing dark clothing. Police investigate report of shots fired on Eater Drive. Police are investigating report of shots being fired in the 1400 block of Eater Drive early Thursday morning. Officers collected several spent shell casings. No damage was located to any surrounding homes or vehicles, and there were no reported injuries. Rantoul Police Sergeant Rodney Sullivan said police received reports of shots fired and fireworks being set off in the early morning hours. At 1:23 a.m., a resident of the 600 block of St. Andrew's Circle reported to police shots had been fired in that area. Another call, received a few minutes later, reported fireworks being shot off in the 1400 block of Mather Drive. Sullivan said officers checked the areas of the complaints but were unable to locate any evidence of fireworks or gunfire. At 8:14 a.m., police were dispatched to the Eater Drive location for a shooting report. The reporting person said they heard what they thought were fireworks about 1 a.m., but did not call the police. The reporting person woke up the next morning and found spent shell casings in the street. Sullivan said detectives continue to investigate the incident and are reviewing surveillance video of the area. No suspect information is available. Anyone having information concerning the incident is asked to call Rantoul Police Department at 217-892-2103. Also, callers may remain anonymous by contacting Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS or by using the P3-TIPS application on a cell phone. Coronavirus report. Rantoul numbers climb by 3, Fishers by 2. The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Champaign County grew by 24 Wednesday to 890, the largest single-day increase in weeks. Of the now 890 cases, 761 are recovered, 117 are active. The number of county residents hospitalized continued to drop by 1 to 7. The county's seven-day positivity rate remained at 1.3%, with 6,540 tests producing 84 new cases. With 1,270 new tests processed in the past 24 hours, the county's daily positivity rate was 1.9%. Here's an updated rundown of Champaign County cases by zip code according to CU public health data, which doesn't distinguish between active and recovered. Champaign up 1, Urbana up 2, Mahomet up 6, Savoy up 1, St. Joseph up 3, Tolono no change, Ludlow no change, Fisher up 2, Pisotum no change, Seymour no change, Homer no change, Thomasboro no change, Sadorus up 1, Gifford no change, Penfield no change, Philo no change, and Sydney no change. Family entertainment venue, hair salon, seek $500,000 village loans. A family entertainment venue with miniature golf, an arcade, and other features could be built in Rantoul. The Village of Rantoul EDA Loan Committee will consider a request for a 10-year loan to help fund construction of the facility near the Rantoul Sports Complex in West Rantoul. The project is one of two requests totaling $1 million that will be heard Monday by the committee, the other being for the purchase and renovation of a building on Century Boulevard for a hair salon. A group known as the Fringe Entertainment LLC is requesting a $500,000 EDA loan to build the 5,280 square foot entertainment facility that would include 36 holes of miniature golf, arcade, concession area, and state-of-the-art simulators. Comprising the development group are Travis and Nikki Flessner, Jeff and Katie Makowski, Bill and Sandy Ruse, and Randy Makowski. It will feature indoor and outdoor seating. Their intended purpose for the facility is to provide a much-needed opportunity for our community to have options for family entertainment, according to the application. It is designed to appeal to people using the sports complex, which is scheduled to open in 2021, as well as to serve as a hub for tourists. The loan request is for 0% interest to be paid back over 10 years, with 4,166 monthly payments. It expects to create 20 jobs. Collateral is 3 acres of land and $320,000 in cash. In a 3-year cash flow projection, the investors anticipate the first year of operation will generate revenue of about $1.2 million with expenses at just over $828,000 with a $455,000 profit. It includes slight increases in profit margins in years 2 and 3. The application indicates the investors spend a great deal of time with owners of similar venues to prepare the three-year projections. The second loan application, also for $500,000, is for the purchase and renovation of a vacant building at 424 South Century Boulevard for Sheer Excellence Salon. The vacant building most recently housed Logan's Pub. The business currently does business at a building three blocks north at 105 South Century Boulevard, which would be used for collateral. As with the entertainment venue loan, the Sheer Excellence loan would be for 0% interest with $4,166 monthly payment. Owners Bridget and Ariel Rogers project 12 jobs would be retained and 40 jobs created. The Rogers said in their application that they moved Sheer Salon, which was established in 2015, to its current Century Boulevard location after outgrowing the former facility, and rehabilitated an empty building, turning it into a beautiful and successful piece of Rantoul. They said they draw a number of customers from Rantoul as well as neighboring communities. The renovation would include the addition of more salon stations, spa rooms, and services, which they said would create additional revenue and job opportunities for the community. They also plan to add a clothing boutique. The application said even though the business was closed for 3 months due to the pandemic, its retail revenue was up, while service revenue, which decreased, was better than expected. They expect to end the current year at or slightly above revenue from last year and project an increase in 2021 of 28% in service revenue and 16% retail. Another 28% growth in service revenue and 17% retail is projected in 2022. Prior to the discussion of the loans, the committee members will be asked their opinion about charging 0% interest. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the federal government is allowing local governments to offer those loans in an effort to encourage development and create or retain jobs. The Village's EDA loan program uses federal money through the EDA program. "We will ask the committee if that is a practice they wish to implement here," Eisenhower said. "We have noticed an uptick in interest in the last month for applications, so perhaps the federal government's motivation is being met." The meeting will be held at 3 p.m. in the municipal building. The committee will make recommendations on the loan request. The final decisions will be made by the Village Board, which holds its monthly session Tuesday night. One woman killed, another seriously injured in wreck near Paxton. One woman died and another was seriously injured in a single vehicle crash near a construction zone in Ford County Friday. Illinois State Police said the woman who died was southbound on Interstate 57, about 2 miles south of Paxton at 6:26 p.m. when the accident happened. Police said the Buick was in the right lane approaching a construction zone and that the driver moved in front of another vehicle just before the lanes merged into one. The driver lost control and veered into the center median, where the car rolled over several times before coming to rest in the west ditch of the southbound lanes. The driver was pronounced dead there. Her identity is being withheld until the coroner can notify her relatives. Her passenger, Shaitisha Hedrick, 23, of Urbana, was taken to a local hospital with serious injuries, police said. Rantoul VFW and Legion planned 4th of July parade. While the multi-block 4th of July parade area residents are used to in Rantoul won't be held this year due to the pandemic, people can still get a parade fix on Saturday. At 10 a.m., the local VFW and American Legion Post will hold a parade starting at the police station on Grove Avenue. VFW Commander Justin Penrod said the parade will head east to Chanute Street, south on Chanute to Sangamon Avenue, and west to the train station downtown. Penrod said the VFW and the Legion will both have floats, as well as an honor guard, that will carry the colors and fire shots. The local police and fire departments will have vehicles. As we have no death notices for this week, we will continue with local news and opinion. Sheriff's Office warns of scammers claiming to be calling from the IRS. The Champaign County Sheriff's Office is warning area residents of an ongoing scam involving people who say they are affiliated with the IRS. In this scam, which has been reported periodically over the last few years, a caller says he or she is from the IRS and told the person that their Social Security number was used to open multiple bank accounts, which were then used for drug trafficking and money laundering. As a result, a warrant has been issued for their arrest. The caller requests money to be transferred to take care of the outstanding warrant and for the person to not contact anyone or else they will be arrested on the warrant. As scammers and identity thieves get more creative, it can be more difficult to determine if a contact is legitimate. In this case, scammers even spoofed telephone numbers to seem as if they were coming from government agencies. Because of the international and technological aspects of fraud such as this, it can be difficult for investigators to narrow down where they originate and who is responsible. Community members have to be proactive in protecting their hard-earned money, Sheriff Dustin Uriman said. I'm not aware of any government agency or legitimate business that operates in this way. As in this most recent case, there are usually red flags or something that doesn't seem quite right that cause the victim to pause before proceeding. If someone gets a call from a government agency or business requesting money to settle a criminal matter, or is called and asked personal information such as Social Security number, the caller should verify the legitimacy of the call by hanging up and contacting the official published telephone number of that agency or business. This can generally be found on the company's website. Do not call back the number that called you to get verification. Generally, no law enforcement agency will call and request money to take care of a warrant, and no legitimate business will call and ask you for personal information unless you call them first and they are verifying the account information with you. If you are ever in doubt, contact your local law enforcement agency before giving personal information or providing money to anyone you do not know. Rantoul man gets 6 years for sexually assaulting a drunken woman. A Rantoul man who admitted sexually assaulting an intoxicated woman has been sentenced to 6 years in prison. Roberto Velasquez, 46, who listed addresses on Englewood and Yeoman Drives, pleaded guilty Tuesday before Judge Heidi Ladd to criminal sexual assault for an act that happened on March 10, 2019. Assistant State's Attorney Kristen Alfrink said the woman had gone to a friend's home on County Road 3000 North that night when Velasquez, a mutual friend of the resident, showed up. Alfrink said the young woman reported that Velasquez touched her leg and buttocks repeatedly while they were seated on the couch together, and she told him to stop and pushed his hands away. The young woman said she had drank so much alcohol and smoked so much cannabis that she got sick and fell asleep. She woke to Velasquez removing her pants and underwear and committing sex acts on her. She was unable to move, she said, but was aware of what was happening. She reported it to deputies the next day. The sheriff's office investigated, and Velasquez was charged about 6 weeks later. Alfrink said he had no prior convictions. He was given credit on his sentence for 239 days served. He will have to register as a sex offender. And now from Rantoul Press columnist Precious Kelly. A challenge to citizens. Let's do our part in racial reconciliation and equality. As COVID-19 made a tsunami-style landfall upon humanity, on its heels came cries of injustice just as global and unprecedented. Those who cry for justice demand their voices to be heard. My goal as a writer typically is not to tell you what to believe. As I have done on other hotly debated issues and concerns, I make an effort to unravel what may be left in the dark and bring it to the table, then let you as the reader decide on what these issues mean to you. In my community, Champaign County, in all my years of living, this was the first time that I have seen protests such as in the wake of George Floyd experience. One Sunday, the shopping mall that I had been riding by suffered from looting and break-ins just hours afterwards. As my siblings and I watched the events unfold from Facebook live streams, a curfew was announced. My brother was scheduled to go into work that night, but was it safe to go to work? Or because of the curfew, should he stay in? He is a college student who was sent home due to COVID-19 and decided to get a job in town. He's had jobs before, but this was the first time something of this nature surfaced. Does one go to work during a city curfew? He asked me and my sisters to ask our managers about it. Due to time constraints, I ended up calling the non-emergency police department number, upon which I was assured that it was safe to go to work. My brother goes to work. He gets there early as usual, and as he arrives to the work area, the manager on duty asks him, "How's everything going on out there?" They talk about the looting, and as time goes by, a few employees trickle in. The managers ask the same question to each of them. It is becoming apparent that perhaps more people than my brother were hesitant to come to work that night. My brother recalls that the manager shows some form of anxiety as the shift is about to commence without enough workers to handle the workload. I've worked with this manager. He cares about his job and employees. It's the same manager who was sitting down in a circle of employees holding up a carry-out box of food while they all shared a rejuvenating snack at the end of their shift. This was also the manager that I had asked help from regarding changes in the custody of my retirement plan. At the end of the work shift that particular day, he walked me and another person to the office to help us gain the items we'd requested. As soon as he walks into the office and we follow him, the people in the room caused a stir for whatever reason. He was able to get the document one guy asked for, but my request took a little bit more time. The manager asked me to have a seat while he went into one of the back office rooms. When he came out, he took a seat next to me and explained what he could about the process. He noticed that his manager was also in the room, and he employed him for his help with my request. They both gave me the knowledge that they could. The manager also showed me the website that I needed to begin the process. You've seen this manager before, a black male, height approximately 6'1", tattoos seared on his neck with a voice that could command an army brigade, and a facial expression that begs the question, "Why do you look upset?" I've heard these comments made in reference to him more than once. You've even heard the description, "Not someone you would want to meet in an alley." That would be the perfect stereotype to describe him. Or black people might say he looks like the kind of guy cops would target. Why? Stereotypes. Stereotypes fuel the fallacy of judging a book by its cover. It's hurtful to each person's livelihood and well-being when we judge someone's heart by preconceived notions, ideas that perhaps have been filtered through dirty lenses of prejudice and ignorance inherited by biased media and casual conversations. In essence, it hurts the individual when we are scared of them before we've even had a chance to know what kind of person they are and what character traits they have. I challenge, not lawmakers, but the individual citizens, let's do our part in racial reconciliation and equality. We can start by no longer carrying discriminatory stereotypes around the living room table. We can start by integrating our family activities in multicultural settings so that we are no longer scared of those we do not know on all sides of the racial discourse. If we believe that God, who made one skin color, in his creative genius and authority created other shades and different cultures that think, act, and look differently than ourselves, let's learn to embrace it. May we learn and grow together as one human race under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Quote for the month, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Precious Angel Kelly, a native of Rantoul, writes a Christian-based monthly column. She welcomes correspondence at apreciouschild2@gmail.com. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a great 4th of July.